be too hard to get. Shouldn't be too hard to get. The first clue was given in November 19, 1863. And the speech goes something like this. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent, Brother David already knows, a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those here who gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot hallow this ground. Sorry, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our power to add or to detract. That this word will little note nor long remember what we say here. Sorry, this world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. Does anyone know who I'm quoting from? So, Brother Kent? That's correct. The Gettysburg Address by Abraham Lincoln at the end of the Civil War, American Civil War, and they are consecrating the National Cemetery where many men lost their lives. The war ended. I'll just read on a little bit more. It is for us, rather, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honoured dead we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these men shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Now, if we lived in the United States, I'm sure we'd absolutely all know that. We'd probably know it off by heart because it's very, very important historically for them. But when you read some of these speeches and the people who made them, you can see that their lives were greatly affected by the Word of God, by the people of God. And tonight I just wanted to bring a little bit about Abraham Lincoln, one of the presidents of the United States, a little bit of his upbringing, and then we'll go on to a couple of scriptures. Abraham Lincoln was born 12th of February 1809 in Kentucky. His mother, Nancy, and his father, Thomas, and he had a sister, Sally. They had their mattresses were made out of corn husks, and they had a bearskin rug to keep them warm. They had humble beginnings. Abraham's mother was a quiet and gentle woman, much loved, and she was different to the other women in the Kentucky settlement. She could read and write. She knew that there was a great world out there, and she wanted her children one day to see it. They grew up in a log cabin, one room, one door, one window, a packed earth floor, and a big open fireplace to cook on that could take large logs. The family sometimes hosted travellers, lawyers and preachers on their journey, and the children would listen attentively as they spoke of people, particularly from Washington, riding in coaches and eating off china dinner plates. Abe heard words like freedom and slavery and tried to figure out what they meant. The children, growing up in the country like many other children, had much work to do on the farm. There were the animals, the vegetables, ploughing. Even at the age of 7, Abe was out working in the field with his father. You had to grow up quickly in those days. A special event happened the year that Abe turned 7, and that is a school opened up. It would only be for a few weeks, but it was a special opportunity. Abe's mother, Nancy, always wanted her children to read and write, and so she spoke to her husband, Thomas. He wasn't so sure on the idea because he was illiterate. He could write his name. And he said, well, I've done all right, you know, I've made do. And she said, oh, it's always been in my heart. And he said, okay. So they arranged for the children to walk the 4 miles to get to school. It's like one of those stories, isn't it, when fathers talk about what they had to do when they were younger, travelling along the snow for miles and miles. Mine was really only just 500 metres down the road. But Abe and his sister walked 4 miles to school and 4 miles back from school. While at school, there were no chalkboards in that first, their first time at school, and they all had to repeat everything continually. The teacher had a switch in his hand or her hand, and if the children started to drift off or fall asleep, they would get a quick switch somewhere on the body to waken them up again. It may not pass the standards of today, but that was school back then and it was a real privilege. The teachers might be paid in food by the people. The people in the area were generally poor and so they were looked after and it was a rare opportunity. When Abe returned home on his first night, his mother heard him whispering, A, B, C, as he practiced over again the letters of the alphabet. So they were just getting taught the alphabet, spelling, and some arithmetic. He loved it. He loved it. And when school finished after a few weeks, his mother continued teaching him. Books were very scarce at that time, but their mother had a Bible that she loved to read. And Abe never forgot the stories that his mother read to him from the Bible. They became as much a part of him as the Bible became as much a part of his own speech. Their mother taught them to be honest, kind, and friendly. Wonderful virtues. One autumn, they left Kentucky to go to Indiana, as the family were not in favor nor comfortable in the state they were living in, becoming a slave state as well. The family were against slavery. And so they moved. And as a few seasons came and went, something happened. At 9 years age, Abe felt like his life had ended when his mother died of a mysterious illness that went through the district. She was so much to him. And that year she died. He was so devastated. The family were devastated. He would go out into the woods and he would just try and remember all the instructions she gave him. At the end of 12 months, their father took stock of what was happening. The house was run down, unkempt. The children were thin and looking ragged. He went back to Kentucky and he came back with a wagon of furniture, a kind-looking woman, and 3 more children. He got remarried. It's one way to solve the problem, isn't it? When they were introduced, the woman's name was Sarah Johnson, and she took the children unto her and loved them, Abe and Sarah. And the relationship was very good for Abe. In fact, he said that his stepmother was the best friend that he ever had. As she understood his yearning for more education, his yearning to grow and learn, and she did as much as she could to facilitate and help that. And so they became very good friends indeed. At 9 years old, Abe had a reputation for being able to do the work, almost do the full work of a man, as you would back then, with an axe and with other tools, ploughing. He also developed a strong reputation for honesty. It was said one time as he was older that he overcharged a particular woman and didn't give her the appropriate amount of tea. And when he discovered his error, he walked, I think it was several miles, to her house immediately to give her the tea that he had undersold her on. So things like that and his conversation developed a very good reputation for him. As he grew, he took an interest in politics and law. People in the district would ask, if you want to know anything about politics, speak to Abe. Now, Abe's education all up, he said, would have amounted to about 1 year, his total education. It was brief, but he had such a yearning to learn. And at one time he was taken to court by people in Kentucky when he was ferrying people across the water from one side, but not to the other. And the people in the court said, he's not allowed to do this. He's not allowed to take people all the way to Kentucky. And the judge said, when you go out, are you taking them to the Kentucky? He said, no, I'm taking them to boats on the water. And the judge said, right, case dismissed. He's done nothing wrong. And when Abe was in that situation, he thought, this is law. He loved it. And he actually studied to become a lawyer and practiced in that area. At one time, he went in partnership with a business partner, and his business partner tended to be lazy and a bit dishonest. And Abe liked nothing more than to read a good book, and he was very kind. Well, it was only a short time before that business failed, and there was quite a debt left owing. The other man died, and Abe spent several years paying back every dollar, every dime to people that they had borrowed money from. He grew up and he took a particular interest against slavery. When he had encounters in the South, in the slave market, he took note of how horrible it was as slaves were put up for sale and people would come along and inspect them, count how many teeth people would have to open up, the slave would have to open up their mouth and they'd count the teeth, check them to see if they were in health, and he despised it. And he thought within himself, if I get an opportunity one day, I want to hit this hard. It was at a time when the country was in difficulty deciding whether they wanted slavery in some states, not slavery in the others, and he debated that, and he believed that the country should have no slavery. And so he was actually elected. The Republican Party started up and he was elected to run for it. And he succeeded in becoming president of the United States. And really, that's quite amazing that this young man, this boy, born in the backwoods of Kentucky, could rise up and one day become the president of a nation. That's rather incredible, isn't it? Hardly any education, really no education. And he is remembered in very glowing terms. And I just, for me, it occurs that the Bible did have a very, very big influence in his life with how he interacted with people. And his mother was instrumental in placing that within his heart and doing something remarkable. Who would have thought? In fact, when he was a younger man and they said, Abe, what are you going to do with all these things you're interested in? Why are you taking such an interest in it? And he said half jokingly, I'm going to be president one day. Well, at least I'm going to try. It was amazing. It happened. When we look at his character, there's something that I admire in him. that he would stand up for principles and stand up for what is right. But what makes his life so special? It certainly wasn't the volume of things that he had. The family were not rich. They were not endowed with lots of stuff, as we would call it today. There was very little, but the relationships that he had were precious. They were special. They had very few possessions, but they were precious. And one of those things was the Bible. It was precious within that household. Education for the mother Nancy was precious. It was wonderful. What we put value on is very, very important, because we can have a whole lot of stuff but not really value it. Ben, I'm wondering if you might put up for me Psalms 19, or James, thank you, and verses 7 to 14. And Craig, would you mind bringing the whiteboard in, please? If you'd like to turn to Psalms 19, I have this conviction that the Word of God is really able to do something in our hearts and minds that nothing else can. It really is. It's solidifying. It speaks to our hearts and minds. Yeah. We're going to have a Sunday school lesson in a little bit. See if we can remember a few things here. But this is a psalm of David, and he's reflecting on something here. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." There's a bit of repetition happening. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." That's the verse that really speaks out to me. "More to be desired are they than gold." Beautiful verse that encourages us. "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth," and this is probably familiar to a number of us, "let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So when I read the scripture and I get into something like this, it really, really speaks to me. It helps me. Helps me in my mind, steadies me. This scripture helps us in the purpose of this message. For in this world, I am presented with so many options that it can be very hard to make the right choices. There are choices in jobs, choices in food. Just look at the shows on the media or television. People are right into cooking at the moment. Choices in friends, entertainment, music, clothes, games, and all these choices can compete for our attention so that we can even form some unhealthy addictions and obsessions in our life. People can get involved in drugs, gambling. Some people, there's scientific studies that show that some people are more susceptible than others to gambling. It can be one hit. I had a friend who was in a hospital in Canberra, and his mother visited from Tasmania. And in Tasmania, there's no poker machines, or there weren't back then. And she came to visit him. And you know what? I don't think she made it once, because she went to a club and she discovered poker machines. Put the coin in, pull the lever, watch the dial go around, put another coin in. And for me, I see money going down and money going down. But for this particular man's mother, it was an addiction, an instant addiction to a horrible gambling habit. And when he finally got out of hospital and he saw her, he was very upset. He was older, she was older, and he said, there's no way you are going back in there while you're staying here with me. Some people can get addicted to gambling, and it can destroy families, people, alcohol. How many lives have been destroyed by alcohol? What about other addictions? Addictions to stealing. Some people form habits of lying. And then we have perhaps the greatest distractions of all in our modern age, the digital world. So you might see some people walking down the street, crossing roads with their phone, and oblivious to what's going on. I think some people have probably been hit on the road. I wouldn't be surprised. Killed, unfortunately. But addictions can destroy families, as addictions rob people of valuable time. Valuable time spent doing something much more worthwhile. So I wonder how the Lincoln family would have gone if they all had mobile phones in the home. That would have required some rules in the household. But they didn't. And their choices were few and simple. But what came out of that household was rich. And might I say, out of a lot of households from that era and other years, and in Australia as well, where the Bible was first and foremost within a home and good habits were formed, great things came out of that, precious things. So within our society, we've got some choices to make. And we could make a rule and a law saying, all right, no one's allowed a mobile phone. But I think we'd be pretty unpopular. A lot of it's about managing what we have and setting some good habits and good rules. Because we want our family and our children to be blessed above all. Amen? It is so important. Making right choices, so that our children can be blessed. What we cherish is so important. What holds our attention, our desire. And that's the verse that we read in Psalm 19. More to be desired are the words of God than gold, and sweeter than the honey or the honeycomb. Precious and special. In fact, we're going to try and learn some of this tonight. Jesus spoke of a parable, Matthew 13 and verses 45 to 46, a very simple parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. End of the parable. That's it. What's the lesson? The kingdom of God is first and foremost. It's precious. Being discerning enough to make that decision, what's important today? What's really important? Is this really important? I've just spent 4 hours doing it and there's nothing to show for it. Or can I spend and invest some time here? And can I change my desires and what I cherish back to what's important to God? If I can do that, something good's going to happen. Something precious. Something wonderful. We're going to look at Psalm 19. see if we can learn some verses. And I've got some rewards here. I didn't bring the honey. I thought the pastor wouldn't agree with this. And I probably can't give out berries right here in the sanctuary for obvious reasons. But I've got some blackberries, boysenberries, and raspberries. Now, boysenberries are sweet. I like raspberries more. But the boysenberries, if you've ever had one growing in your garden, has anyone ever had one? Brother Leon, how'd you go with the thorns? Didn't trouble you? Okay, I had one in my backyard, and they were the nastiest, meanest thorns that I had ever seen on a plant. And I tried killing it several times, and it kept coming back. I love the fruit, but I really didn't like the thorns. So I'm happy enough just to buy those. I feel very strongly about getting the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds, and guiding us. Now, this particular verse of Scripture has meaning for me because as a young man, at some stage, somebody gave me a cassette back in the days when we had cassettes. Does anybody know what a cassette is these days? You put it in your cassette player, you press play, and generally plays through, but you might get problems and it might get stuck, it might twist around. If you had a cassette you really liked and you kept playing it and playing it and playing, eventually it dies. Yeah. Or it'll get bad spots on it. Well, this particular verse, there was a great song and I was able to memorize it, but I can't remember exactly how the song goes today, but I still remember some of the verses. So, I am wondering if I can have maybe five people who would like to have a go at memorizing this. But we might start off as a congregation first. And so we might just read the first set up to here. And then I'm going to start rubbing out words. And this is something we do in children's church because it's a helpful way of memorizing. So let's all say it together. Maybe, Ben, would you mind putting that first set up on the screen as well so it's a little bit bigger? Yeah, working on it? Okay. Let's all start with this part here. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Let's say it again from here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Let's try something. Okay, Ben, let's turn that one off up top. Make sure your Bibles aren't open. Shall we try it? One, two, three. The law of the Lord is perfect in the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Okay, would anyone like to have a go at this? Maybe we'll say it together once, and whoever does is going to get a prize later. Maybe, Alicia, you'd like to have a go very soon. Let's try and say it together. The law of the Lord. Okay, would anyone like to have a go? Hand up. Maxwell, come on, let's have a go. Let's welcome him up here. Come on. Do you want to have one last look at it?
Yes, Maxwell.
All right, do you want to read that and fill in the blanks?
Yes.
Can I rub out one more word?
Sure.
Why don't you select the word to rub out?
Yes.
I would do the same. Okay.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, make the wise the perfect. Oh, the simple. Making the simple wise.
Do you want to have another go? You're so good. Let's just try again.
The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is the sure, making the simple the wise.
I'm going to give you a prize. That is excellent. We'll give you a prize afterwards, okay? I don't want you to have to carry these berries with you over there. Actually, when Abraham Lincoln, as he was growing up, they couldn't afford blackboards, chalkboards. They really had nothing. I think he had charcoal. But then at some point he made his own pen, and he made it out of a wild turkey quill that he'd caught, and he gathered wild berries, made a juice from it, and used that as the ink for his first writing. And his first essay was against the cruelty of animals. Isn't that interesting? Someone's laughing, probably because it was written with the quill of a turkey, but probably wasn't cruel. That was, you needed to eat. I certainly wouldn't knock back a good turkey. Let's try another one here. Well, I suggest there might be about 30 in each packet there. So we've got lots of opportunities. So if Maxwell, if you're the only winner, you'll take them all. Okay? So there is a reward for getting the Word of God in our heart. And that's what, when the psalmist says the Word of God is sweeter, sweeter than the honey, he's saying, come on, there's something beautiful about this. There's an investment and a reward, but there's also something here and now for us to taste and see. But it comes at a cost. Okay, let's try the next section. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Let's say it again. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, making wise. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's try again. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. All right, Ben, let's drop that one. All right, I'm going to rub out two more. Okay, would anybody like to have a go at that? Too early? Let's say it together, and then I'll see if we can find a volunteer here. Sorry, let's just stop. I can't even remember what the first word was here. The statutes. All right, let's start again. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Anyone want to have a go? Brother Raul, let's have a go. Come out the front here, and I'll get you to rub out another word of your choice. Very brave man. Okay.
All right. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
Very good. Very good. Shall we go down again? Oh, would anybody else like to have a go at that one before we move on? We've got plenty of berries here. Alicia? Yeah, come on out. Have a go. It's just two packets. But if it's a... You want the whole packet. You ready?
The statutes of the Lord is right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
Well done. Well done. You know what? I'm getting you to repeat more words than Pastor Downs does when he's here. Now, the next one. Let's try. Let's all say it together. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Let's say it again. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Okay. Lucas, would you like to come out and rub some words out for me here, please? I'm having all the fun. That's not right. Come on. So you have to rub out, let's say, two words out of this area here. That's a good choice. Another word in this area. Yep. Okay, let's try it again. Stay up here. We'll do some more blackboarding. Okay, are we ready? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Okay, let's try again. Let's rub out two more words. Yes. And one more. Okay, it's getting harder. All right, you ready? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Would anyone like to have a go at this one? Those berries are just crying out to be eaten. Is no one going to have a go, Lucas? Brother Eugene, come. And you get to rub out one more word.
I thought you rubbed enough already.
Okay.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to have a go? No? Okay, well, let's move on to the last one here. All right, let's see how we go. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Shall we say it again? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Okay, let's rub out two words, Lucas. Rub out one more higher up. Yep. Are we ready? Okay. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Would anyone like to have a go at that? I think that one's not too bad, not too hard. Brother Downs. So, this is from the days when we used to sing scripture, scripture and song.
We'll try. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb.
Now, really, that is the best and easiest way to learn something from the Bible, in song. Okay, Sister Downs. Wow. That is wonderful. That's, I was hoping somebody... I didn't come that prepared. Thank you, Lucas. Well done. The Word of God, when we place it in our heart, has an amazing impact. In fact, in John, I believe it's 14, Jesus talks about the Spirit taking His words, the words that He spoke while He was alive with the disciples. He said, He will take my words, the Spirit will take my words and bring them to your remembrance. When we put the Word of God in our heart, it does a number of things in our mind. If we cherish it, it will guide us in the decisions that we make about what is right and wrong, where we go, the things that we do. It can keep us and it will keep us from evil if we cherish it like a true friend that it is. And the other thing is the Spirit, as Brother Downs mentioned this morning when he was talking about the time in Northeast India, the Spirit speaking to him, interceding through him. The Spirit employs the Word of God to speak to us and guide us in remarkable ways. It forms part of the way we think and what we do. It is unique among all other books. It is wonderful. I would like to finish on another very short speech by Abraham Lincoln. And this is from his second inaugural address, 1865, and it's titled, and it's just an excerpt, With Malice Towards None. And this is, I think, remarkable when you consider the country had just gone through a civil war. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the works we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who has borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. I thought just a wonderful speech that he gave and how the Word of God really impacted his life. The Word of God and the Kingdom of God are like that pearl of great price. And when we pursue after it, when we lay hold of it and we cherish it, and our desire becomes that of God's, it affects us in a wonderful way. That's what I came to bring tonight. And I I wanted to have the children involved in some way, because often we get to sit and enjoy ourselves, and I like the children to be able to be a part of it and hear it, because they're our greatest treasure. What our children do with the faith that we're bringing them up in. If you could all stand tonight. And if you would like prayer, then I invite you to come and to the front. But I also just wanted us to pray. And I'm going to ask Bishop Downs if he would pray for us tonight as a congregation.
Thy word, O Lord, is a light unto our path. Help us, Jesus, to love that light rather than live in darkness. Help us, Lord, to covet, to see and know where we're going rather than to be lost. Thank you, Jesus, our God, for the Word of God, which tells us about you, tells us about your love, and tells us, Lord, how you redeemed us. So, precious God, help us to cherish these things. When many nations have forgotten and many people have rejected, help us, Lord, to love your word, that it would keep us and that it would strengthen us daily. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name and for your glory. Amen.